Good morning, I'm Elizabeth Harrison in Providence. This promises to be a pivotal week in the long-fought battle for same-sex marriage in Rhode Island. The House is expected to tweak the bill approved last week by the state Senate and send it on to Governor Lincoln Chafee for a signature. Rhode Island Public Radio's Flo Jonick caught up with a man who plans to take advantage of the new law.
Aaron Kutu works at not only one but two libraries, but yesterday his mind was not exclusively on books. Kutu, who with his partner Ray Dano became the first Rhode Island couple to engage in a civil union 2 years ago, now plan to get married once it becomes legal to do so August 1st.
Kind of goes back to the idea of separate but equal. Why do you need two terms if they are the same thing? But the fact that it had to be something else meant that we weren't the same. It didn't have the same value. And the people who were opposed to relationships like ours could say, you're not like us.
Kutu says they'll dispense with a wedding ceremony, but the reception? Well, that's another matter.
We didn't have a reception the first time, and we think that we're really going to have a big reception this time.
Civil unions were a big bust in Rhode Island. According to the state health department, only 85 couples have engaged in them in the nearly 2 years since they became law. Flo Jonick, Rhode Island Public Radio.
Senator Jack Reed makes a stop at Goddard Memorial State Park in Warwick today to highlight the danger of tick-borne illness. Reed will be joined by University of Rhode Island tick expert Thomas Mather. Mather has conducted surveys that find the number of ticks in Rhode Island increased over the last year. Ticks can carry diseases including Lyme disease and babesiosis, which can be dangerous if left untreated. Experts urge hikers and others enjoying the outdoors to wear insect repellent and clothing that covers the arms and legs to avoid ticks. About a dozen animal rights activists picketed Brown University yesterday over what activists characterize as cruel and inhumane treatment of laboratory animals. The protest was organized by the group In Defense of Animals and timed to coincide with World Week for Animals in Laboratories, which was observed last week. Protester Linda Pete of Riverside says the experimentation at Brown and other research institutions is unnecessary.
I'm concerned about the actual experiments on the animals. I don't find them to be necessary usually, and they're cruel.
Brown University officials say animal researchers are held to the highest levels of animal health and safety. And singer and songwriter Taylor Swift has reportedly decided to plunk down roots in Rhode Island. According to the entertainment website TMZ, Swift paid close to $18 million cash for a mansion that originally listed for $20 million. The home is described as more than 11,000 square feet. The report does not say where the house is, but the singer had previously toured a home in Watch Hill.
Rhode Island is poised to become the 10th state in the nation to recognize same-sex marriage and join our five New England neighbors in the vanguard of the movement for equal treatment for gay citizens. The Rhode Island House and Senate have both approved now by comfortable margins the same-sex marriage legislation. Governor Lincoln Chafee, a staunch supporter, is certain to sign the measure when it moves to his desk, probably within a few days. Debate over gay marriage has simmered at the State House since 1997, but until last week had never been approved by both chambers of the General Assembly. Most remarkable is the speed with which same-gender marriage came to be accepted by a majority of Rhode Islanders and their political representatives. Political change never sprouts from virgin soil. In Rhode Island, the field for gay marriage was first plowed during the 1990s when the General Assembly passed, and then Governor Lincoln Allman signed into law a measure that barred discrimination against gays in employment, housing, public accommodations, and the granting of credit. The legislation was approved only after an 11-year debate that packed state house hearing rooms and pitted openly gay citizens against religious conservatives, including the hierarchy of the Roman Catholic Church. The late Julia Pell, daughter of Senator Claiborne Pell, and her mother, Noella Pell, both lobbied vigorously on behalf of gay rights legislation. Julie Pell learned politics working behind the scenes on her father's campaigns, and Mrs. Pell, a revered figure in the state's Democratic Party, a woman at her husband's side during his 36 Senate years, prowled the State House corridors to gather support for her lesbian daughter's crusade. After Vermont in 2000 became the first state to legalize gay unions, gay rights activists in other New England states began organizing politically and using the courts to seek equal treatment. This movement led to recognition of gay marriage in other New England states. Only Rhode Island was the holdout. The overarching reason was that Governor Donald Carcieri, a conservative Republican with red state social issue views, threatened to veto any gay civil union or marriage legislation. So state lawmakers decided not to take tough votes on that issue because they couldn't stomach the voter backlash on a topic the governor was going to stop anyway. Then the political landscape shifted dramatically. It began with small acts of courage, individual gay citizens deciding they were not going to live closeted lives. As more gays came out, Rhode Islanders got to know relatives, friends, and co-workers whose lives differed little from everyone else except for their sexual orientation. One by one, our New England neighbors adopted same-sex marriage. Rhode Islanders noticed that nothing much changed in Seekonk, Pomfret, Portland, Burlington, or Concord when gay marriage was the law and the church doors remained open. As the stigma of being gay faded, the politicians took notice. Despite fervent opposition from Roman Catholic Bishop Thomas Tobin in this very Catholic state, heterosexual citizens decided their fellow gay citizens deserve the joys, heartaches, and legal benefits of marriage. Rhode Island has few evangelical Protestants, and the mainline Protestant denominations visibly supported gay marriage. As public opinion moved, especially among young and educated Rhode Islanders, the politicians followed. Prominent Catholics, including Congressman Jim Langevin and Senator Jack Reed, changed their views and embraced same-sex unions. A new governor, Republican-turned-independent Lincoln Chafee, campaigned for same-sex marriage and stuck with this battle even after the Assembly settled for civil unions 2 years ago. The business community in the Ocean State and in most other states has long been ahead of the political leadership on this issue. Major businesses and the big nonprofit employers, including colleges and hospitals, offered their gay workers domestic partner benefits that included health care and pensions. Then the grassroots campaign began in earnest. A group organized as Rhode Islanders United for Marriage hired seasoned political operatives and built a strong coalition that included gay rights activists, organized labor, major elements of the business community, supportive Protestant and Jewish clergy, progressive and liberal Democrats, and moderate Republicans. In the end, this aggressive grassroots campaign won by knocking on doors and putting voter pressure on wavering senators. Bishop Tobin and opponents of the legislation had a fallback position, shuttle the issue off to a voter referendum. By then, it was too late. The Smith Hill politicians, whose fundamental instinct is self-preservation, knew they would lose a referendum against a vigorous campaign. And because the gay marriage side was so well organized, many opponents and waverers grasped the reality that the collateral damage of a referendum could be the loss of their seats in primaries against well-financed and energized gay marriage supporters. On this issue, representative democracy triumphed. Proof positive that an engaged public can win an issue even in the halls of a statehouse too often seen as enthralled to parochial interests.